Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Thank you for joining Africa Link. Good morning, and this is DW Africa Link live from Bonn, Germany. I'm Crispin Mwakideu. Coming up, Pope Francis calls for reconciliation as he begins his African tour in Kenya.
All men and women of goodwill are called to work for reconciliation and peace, forgiveness and healing.
Germany plans to deploy an extra 650 soldiers to Mali.
The Germans are going to support the UN mission, and that might allow the French to take out a few of their troops to fight the Islamic State.
Stay tuned to these stories and more, plus our Crime Fighters radio drama.
Top story.
Calling for transparency. Pope Francis on Wednesday urged Kenyan leaders to work with integrity and transparency to ensure equal distribution of national resources. The head of the Catholic Church made the statements upon his arrival in Nairobi. Huge crowds, choirs and dancers had lined up to welcome him, as Daniel Pels in Nairobi described to my colleague Mark Caldwell.
It was a very warm, a very traditional Kenyan welcome, if you like. There were dancers who were chanting Karibu Kenya, welcome to Kenya, when the Pope was walking from the airplane on the tarmac. And then he was greeted at the airport by President Uhuru Kenyatta and other political and religious dignitaries. So all in all, a very relaxing, a very warm welcome.
What did he have to say in his opening speech?
The Pope gave a very clear message to Kenya's political elite. He said that they have a responsibility and a duty to end corruption and to end poverty. He said that they have to make sure that they distribute the wealth of the country evenly so that all people can benefit from it. He also talked about the need to fight poverty. He said that there's a very, very clear link between poverty, frustration and terrorism. And he made a very, very strong call also to step up efforts to preserve the environment. He warned that there's a very grave environmental crisis, and at the same time he lauded Kenyans because he said that they traditionally care a lot about the environment and that this is something that is very commendable.
Will the need for tight security hamper his freedom of movement?
Well, the Pope can move freely, but the citizens of Nairobi cannot. Today there will be a public mass at the University of Nairobi, and the government has already announced that all major roads leading to the city centre will be closed for security reasons. There will be 10,000 police officers deployed, there will be 10,000 members of the National Youth Service for crowd control. People who come close to the Pope, even journalists like us, will be screened. So I think the Pope, of course, can move around, but I think his interaction with people might not be as freely as he might want. On the other hand, I mean, the Pope is very open for surprises, and so it will remain interesting to see if he might maybe just ignore security and just go around and welcome people when he's coming for the mass.
This is his first trip to Africa. Why did he choose Kenya as his first stop?
Well, Kenya, of course, is a very important country in Africa. At the same time, it has a very huge Christian population, also a very huge Catholic population. And I think another reason is that this country faces many challenges that Pope Francis wants to address. I mean, there is a huge amount of poor people here in Kenya. Wealth is very unevenly distributed. There are ethnic divisions in society, and I think Pope Francis just wants to send a very, very clear message to Kenyans that he feels with them and that he wants to be with them and do his bit to help heal these divisions in society.
Daniel Pels in Nairobi. And as you've just heard, the Pope is today leading mass for more than a million people. And afterwards, he will give a speech touching on climate change at the headquarters of the United Nations Environmental Programme, UNEP, in Nairobi. He also plans to share a meal with residents of a slum. James Shimanyula, another DW Nairobi correspondent, has more on the Pontiff's itinerary.
The most anticipated aspect of the Pope's visit is his planned high mass at Nairobi University. Over 1 million people are expected. Manoa Espisu, President Uhuru Kenyatta's spokesman, had this to say about the event.
There will be
Mass at the University of Nairobi. The Holy Father will then address Diplomatico at UNEP.
The Mass will be followed by a speech by the Pope at the United Nations Environmental Programme, or UNEP, which will be focused on climate change. Tomorrow, the Pope will visit Kangemi, the most densely populated and multicultural part of Nairobi, with nearly a quarter of a million residents. Normally, the area is engulfed in darkness every night. All that changed when Pope Francis's plan to visit the area was released. For the first time, street lamps were installed and roads fixed. During his planned speech in Kangemi, the Pope will address the challenges facing young people and later share a meal with the residents. His planned meal underscores the Pope's commitment to helping less fortunate members of society. One of the more interesting aspects of the Pope's visit to Kangemi is that the regalia he's expected to wear were made at the Dolly Craft Sewing Project, a part of the St. Joseph the Worker Catholic Parish, which is in Kangemi. The sister responsible for the preparation of the robes is Italian-born sister Ida Lagonegro. She walked me through the significance of the robes they designed and manufactured for the Pope.
The long one is called alb. Then we made another two vestments that they are called chasuble. One is in gold and the other one is with the African touch. So totally, he have three pieces. The significance of this is to decorate, you know, to be decent. The alb, we put the symbol of the Jesuit, which is J-H-S. The meaning is Jesus. He's a Jesuit.
Mary Njue, who supervised the production of the garments, stresses the importance of the Pope wearing the alb.
The alb, according to the church, is the vestment that should worn when one is conducting the Mass.
That report was compiled by James Shimanyula in Nairobi.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
More boots on the ground. Germany has said it is going to send 650 additional troops to Mali. They are to bolster MINUSMA, the UN mission in Mali. The move comes in response to a French request for assistance following the Paris bombings. France has around 1,500 troops in Mali who are fighting jihadist groups. Gilles Yabi, an expert on the Sahel region, has been telling Mark Colwell what he thinks the role of the new troops is going to be.
For now, you have basically the UN mission, MINUSMA, and which include a number of countries from West Africa, but also some French troops. But at the same time, you have the Barkhan operation, which is a separate military mission, only a French mission. So what probably is going to happen is that the Germans are going to support the UN mission, and that might allow the French to take out a few of their troops to be able or to face the major security threat that France is facing now globally and not just in Mali. And now, of course, France also needs a lot of troops to fight the Islamic State in Syria. And, of course, that is putting more pressure on the French troops globally.
Germany is increasing its troop numbers from a token 10 to 650. How big a step is this in military terms?
Well, it is a significant increase, of course, for German forces. I think it's also important to note that Germany has already been involved heavily in a mission which is more a training mission and to reform the security sector in Mali. So Germany has already been involved in that specific effort, and that was also on the request of the French. In terms of military addition, the fact that you have, again, German presence and 600 troops, that is going to be very useful for the UN mission because, again, they are facing specific threats coming from terrorist groups, and the UN mission are not equipped for that. They are not mandated to fight terrorism. So the addition of the German is more than the numbers. It is the fact that these are more trained troops who have specific skills and would be able to resist or to face the threats that are specific to terrorist groups in Mali. Of course, the risk also would be there of deadly attacks on the German troops, of course.
By increasing its number of troops in Mali, is Germany also increasing its exposure to risks back home?
It is important, I think, to make a distinction between what is happening in Mali and what is happening globally, what happened in Paris and the threat that all the European countries can have from terrorism. It's not necessarily directly related to the operation in the Sahel. It is more related also directly to the Syria-Iraq crisis and to the Islamic State.
Gilles Yabi, an expert on Sahel region and founder of the West Africa Citizen Think Tank. Now, half of all beds in Cameroon's hospitals are occupied by patients suffering from malaria. As a preventative measure, the Central African country has begun distributing specially treated mosquito nets. However, many of those who receive the nets are not using them. DW correspondent Moki Kinzeka has more on this story.
University student Henri Ayina is a patient at the Mvokada District Hospital in Cameroon's capital Yaoundé for a few hours. He says he was unconscious when he arrived.
I don't know who brought me here. I just found out that the nurses were collecting blood for laboratory tests, and then they started administering anti-malaria infusions. I have been told this will last 3 days. One thing is surprising. I hear treated mosquito bed nets are being distributed, but I have not got one.
The 22-year-old is one of 6 million cases in a country of 22 million people, yet not everyone who has one of the new nets uses it, like Sylvie Akaba, who got one from health teams distributing them for free.
Mosquito bed nets treated with insecticides are suffocating. I do not use them. When you're in them, it's like being in a coffin.
Dr. Kwake Simon Fozo of the Global Fund for Malaria Project told me they have been educating people to regularly use the nets when sleeping as a sure means of avoiding malaria infections.
They misuse the nets out of ignorance, and precisely this Global Fund project is out to ensure that those bed nets are used for the purposes for which they were intended.
Dr. Tala Esther of the Cameroon Coalition Against Malaria says besides changing weather patterns that favor mosquito multiplication, the increase in the number of malaria cases in Cameroon is also attributed to people developing resistance to treatment.
Out of 100 people who are consulting at any health facility, 40 to 50 are consulting because of malaria. Out of 10 children who are dying, 4 are dying because of malaria, children aged under 5. The figures do not even portray the reality. These figures are talking about cases that are seen at health facilities. Most of the cases of illness and death happen at home, in the community, so they are not even recorded.
Yaoundé resident Jean Mandata also blames lack of hygiene for the upsurge.
The state should not unredistribute bed nets. It should clean up standing water in our neighborhoods where mosquitoes breed. They should clean up our dirty neighborhoods.
Cameroon's Minister of Health, Mama Fouda, has called on people to clean their environments, but especially to use the nets.
Avoir la milda, c'est très bien.
Having an insecticide or treated mosquito bed net means nothing if you don't use it. When you go back home, discard the old bed nets you have after keeping this one in the open air for one night. Remember that you can wash it with soap anytime it is dirty.
About 10 million insecticidal mosquito bed nets have been distributed free of charge in a program initiated by the government to reduce malaria-related deaths by half before the end of this year.
Moki Kinzeka in Yaoundé. In about 10 minutes, I'll be back with a summary of our main stories. But for now, here are the Crime Fighters, a Learning by Ear radio drama production.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Welcome to the fourth episode of our series, Crime Fighters, The Radical Journey. In Kululaland, The young police officers, Jude and Brenda, are making progress with their investigation into the death of Zora Kasim, a female suicide bomber. Last time, Jude went to a youth hangout and ran into an old friend from high school. Bobo is one of the many disgruntled young people in the country who have no jobs and no perspectives and are angry at the government. Meanwhile, Brenda interrogated Eric, a member of the terrorist group Swart Sages. Eric told the police that high-ranking politicians have been financing terrorist activities. Among them is someone very close to Zora, her own father, Honorable Kasim. Today's episode is called It's a Hard Life. Let's hear first what the police team has up its sleeve.
Inspectors Jude and Brenda, this case isn't moving as fast as I would like. But we have to do the best we can. The girl's father, Honorable Kasim, came in to see me without warning. I was pretty surprised and he didn't say much. Now I keep replaying our conversation in my head and wondering whether I missed anything.
Mr. Commissioner, sir, we do seem to have made an initial breakthrough with the confession by the suspect, Eric Mudu. He told us that Honorable Kasim has been helping to finance the terrorist group. But can we rely on that kind of information? And also, would a father really sacrifice his daughter like that? Make her carry out a suicide bombing?
Strange things do happen. But Honorable Kasim was close to his daughter. Zora was the only girl.
Well, this is what we have to investigate.
Yes, sir. And what about the other politicians Eric named as being linked to the Swart Sages?
It's very tricky. The thing is, we can't go public with this information right now. Not until we have carried out a thorough investigation. We have to find out whether they are really involved, and if so, how deep that involvement is.
Sir, I think there's something serious going on in some of the young people's hangouts.
I'm listening, Jude.
I went to one of them, called Ziggy's, and when I arrived, I ran into Bobo, an old classmate of mine. We talked a little about politics and the economy, the usual stuff about the discontented youth. But then he invited me to a meeting with other young people this evening. He said they were onto something that's going to make things better. Sort of a revolution, he said.
Why do you think it's something serious?
Because he said some things that made me think there could be a connection between the suicide bombing and this group gathering he's invited me to. He was talking about the youth taking drastic measures.
Inspector, it sounds as if you're onto something. What time are you meeting them?
7 o'clock. But sir, I didn't tell my former classmate that I was with the police. So I'd like to volunteer to go undercover. I want them to trust me enough to give me all the details. That way, we'll get to the bottom of things quickly.
Jude, are you sure you can do this? Let's not be hasty. Go to the meeting this evening first. Then we'll think about where we go from there.
Mother, I am off. I am meeting some friends. Maybe one of them can give me a tip about a day job somewhere.
Don't worry, Bobo. I'm sure you'll get a job soon. Don't lose hope. Have you had anything to eat? I can warm up the leftovers of the bean stew if...
Don't worry, Mother. I'll eat out tonight.
All right, then, if you're sure. You have a great evening.
Bye, Mother.
Yes? Who's there? Bobo, is that you?
Good afternoon, madam.
Ah, landlord. Good afternoon. I'm so sorry.
Don't start apologizing. I just saw your son and he pretended not to recognize me. I just dropped by to let you know that I'm going to throw you out at the end of the month if you don't pay me what you owe.
Please, sir, I beg you. Don't do this to us.
I've been patient long enough, don't you think? If I carry on like this, I'll go bankrupt too.
Mommy, Mommy, someone's throwing up.
Oh my God. Landlord, excuse me. Somo's my youngest. He's been sick for several days. We can't even afford to take him to the doctor.
Madam, I wish him a speedy recovery. That's all I can do. I have to go. I just hope I've made myself clear. Goodbye.
Oh God. What am I going to do now? This is all too much.
So, Jude, don't ask any questions. Just follow me quietly. I know you haven't yet made up your mind to join, but I am bringing you here as a friend. It's our little secret.
Don't worry, Bobo. I understand. You know me. No one will notice. I'll just pretend.
I know. Keep calm anyway. And no pressure. You'll join when you are ready.
Okay, no problem. So who's speaking now?
That's our great warlord, Scambo. Come on, let's get closer. You will see. He has all the answers to our problems.
Have no water to drink. They feast on meat and expensive food, while we, the people, have nothing to eat. Who is a citizen? What is a citizen, my brothers and sisters? Is a person who has been denied a citizen's right still a citizen? How can we reinstate the citizen if we don't take back the rights that have been stolen from us? If we don't take over and rule and protect ourselves and defend our territories, why should we be treated as guests at a table that rightfully belongs to us? Why should we eat crumbs while there's a chance for us to eat straight from the kitchen? To those going on the first assignment, the initiation test, I say, have no fear. Think of it as a pleasant journey, and you will achieve your destiny. Have a good evening, everyone. Good evening.
Yes?
Mr. Commissioner, sir, you said to call you when Honorable Kasim arrived. Should I bring him to your office?
Yes, yes, bring him in.
Right away, sir.
Inspector Brenda, Honorable Kasim is on his way.
But, Mr. Commissioner, sir, why have we just invited him in for a chat? Shouldn't we take him into custody? I mean, we've got evidence against him.
What evidence? The testimony of a terrified suspect? We need more than that. Besides, even if he's giving the sword sages money or weapons, it doesn't directly explain why his daughter carried out the attack, or who made her do it. Oh, Honorable Kasim, please come in.
Mr. Commissioner, how do you do?
I'm fine, thank you. You know Inspector Brenda. She's heading up your daughter's case under my supervision.
Good afternoon, sir.
How do you do, Inspector?
Very well, thank you, sir.
Please have a seat. Honorable Kasim, I won't take up too much of your time. You've described to us how close you are to your daughter Zora and how introverted she was. But was there anyone apart from you whom she saw as a role model? Someone who might have influenced her negatively?
You know, it still feels as if I'm in a nightmare. As if maybe I'll wake up and see that this isn't really happening.
It could even be someone you don't suspect. Can you think of anything that struck you as odd? Anything at all? Her relationships with a close family member, perhaps? Or a new friend?
If there had been anything like that, she would have told me, I'm sure.
Honorable sir, it's very important that you try to think back. Any information you can give us will help us get to the truth.
What is this? Am I on trial here or what? My family and I are suffering. I don't know whether our lives will ever be the same again.
It's all right, Honorable Kasim. No need to get worked up. It's our duty to try and get to the bottom of this. And that's what we are doing.
And if you continue with this line of questioning, I'll have to press charges.
That brings us to the end of this fourth episode. What will happen next? Join us again next time to find out. If you'd like to listen again to this episode or previous ones, just go to our website, dw.com/crimefighters. Goodbye for now.
And Crime Fighters continues next week on Monday. Before we leave you, a summary of our main stories. Pope Francis has called for transparency among Kenyan leaders as he begins his Africa visit. Germany has announced plans to send 650 additional troops to Mali. And we've also been hearing about the challenges of containing the spread of malaria in Cameroon. As always, we welcome your comments on this program. You can send us an SMS to country code 49 160 957 59510, an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, or a letter to Africa Link DW 53 110 Bonn, Germany. Africa Link will be back same time tomorrow. Do join us if you can. I'm Crispin Mwakideu. Have a wonderful day.